The word I want to pick is, idolatry. But let me start at verse 19, go through verse 21. You get this whole picture of the deeds of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, your word is a gift to us, a prize, better than gold. And Lord, we're to love it better than gold and love you more than all this world's treasures. We thank you for your patience with us, Lord. We would grow deeper in our devotion and love to you. We would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength as you command and as is right and fitting. Thank you, Lord, as we gather with you, that your spirit desires to uplift Christ and bring your word home to our hearts. We pray, Lord, it would be that way, not in theory, but in practice. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If a daughter comes to their parents and says, I got a new boyfriend. And the parents say, typically, well, what can you tell me about him? What can you tell me about this new boyfriend? And her answer is this and this only. He rides a motorcycle. So the parent says, what can you tell me about your new boyfriend? And she says, well, he rides a motorcycle. Well, no parent would be satisfied with that answer. Good and decent folks ride motorcycles all the time. So do Hell's Angels. So to say that he rides a motorcycle is insufficient to satisfy a parent or anybody who wants to know what kind of character this man has. If she said he rides on a motorcycle when he robs a bank, well, that says more about him. But just to ride a motorcycle, it doesn't say anything. Well, suppose it goes this way instead. Daughter says, I have a boyfriend, and the parents say, what can you tell me about your new boyfriend? And the daughter answers, he's a very religious man. Unfortunately, far too many parents would say, oh, that's nice. But in actuality, it says even less about a person's character than the motorcycle answer. What religion? Being a religious person doesn't narrow it down. You may, do anything in a religion. There's a saying that religion is the opiate of the masses. I heard this when I was I think I was a senior in high school, and it offended me because an opiate is a drug of the masses. So it was basically saying, this unbeliever was saying, that if you have a religion, you have it because you need a drug. It's not absolutely true. It's just, you use it for relieving of your pain or to feel better or to have more hope, but it's not real. And the more I think about that, though, it's mostly true. There's over 4,000 religions, I think, last time I looked, of different kinds. There's actually way more than that. I'll say why in a minute. But if you have a false religion, that's all it can be, is an opiate. If you don't have a factually based religion, if you don't have a religion with an actual true God, well, then it's an opiate. Scientology is a religion without a God. They use it for eating the right things and stuff, various other things. There is a hope, but it's, wacky a little bit. But It's an opiate if all you have is a religion for you. If religion is about you, if religion is for your comfort, then it's an opiate. And many people have that. Now, we're looking today at the concept of idolatry in verse 20. And this concept of idolatry has basically faded from the world. The common perception today is not that there's idolatry, because all religions have been declared proper. You can only commit idolatry against another god. If you pick a god, then and you're true to him, however you define him to be and what he wants you to do, well, then you won't be idolatrous if you keep serving him. But one of the persistent works of the flesh, as noted by Paul in Galatians here, is idolatry. And so it's not gone away. And you can't reason out of it by saying something other than what is termed idolatry in the scriptures. Now, I've been studying the traits, as you know, and we started in Second Timothy 3, about the traits in the last days and how that will bring difficult times. And that's the nature of sin. Sin always brings difficult days. It's the blight of humanity. I did it with a towel the other day. I told Cindy, she said the cats must have done it, and I admitted to it. My towel got snagged on the shower door, and it pulled some, thread out of it. So I said, well, I'll just pull that off. It don't pull off. It just pulls more. And the more you try to fix it, the less towel you have. And generally with a rip, once they get started, they just keep on. And the way it is with sin, once that rip has taken place, you can't fix it. It just gets worse. And as it gets worse, you've got more damage and more danger. And that's what these traits are referring to. It's sin unrestrained, like we have today, ever increasing. As that grows and expands, it takes over more of society. But there's percentages, what we hear about are the most ungodly a lot of times these days. But the more sin you have unrestrained, the worse it gets. People who are saying today that they're woke, or they're claiming things which are called woke, that's just sin. That's not being woke. People are getting more worldly. They're worshiping Mother Earth more. They're wandering from God and making things important that aren't important. They're getting offended and causing divisions. And it's just, none of that is proper. None of that is right. It's sin. It's not progressive. And the sin, the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. And right now, the Holy Spirit is restraining evil. As far as we know, it's what he's been doing until he lets go, and then the Antichrist will come. I believe it's a proper observation today that we could be on the high side of the level of sin bubbling up. And if the Holy Spirit just let it all go, well, we're at the end and the Antichrist. But the Bible mentions sinful traits in the last days, and it mentions sinful traits just all the time, like here in Galatians. So I'm picking through traits now that will still be an issue in the last days and are make for difficult times. And unless we are sunk deep into Christ, we will get knocked down by these days. The outbreak of wickedness today is so astounding. People don't know the most basic things in life. They approve the most radically obscene and indecent behavior. And it's very easy to get discouraged. We have to have our minds, our roots in Christ. Well, first of all, in the consideration of idolatry, I want to talk about what religion is and what it is not. As I said earlier in the made-up story of the parents and the boyfriend who's religious, religion doesn't really say anything in itself about the character of a person, because it depends on the religion. But religion is a human reaction to what a person thinks about God. When a person believes in God, it is natural to make something up where we can please God, approach God, petition God, deal with God. So if you understand God, or think you do, well, then a religion is a connection. It's to connect you with God. Restaurants. Why are restaurants around? Why do people build restaurants and own restaurants and run restaurants and all that? Well, because restaurant owners understand humans, that they're hungry, that they like to go out and eat. So that concept of humans leads to, it's not a religion, but it's a business of having a restaurant. So if God is perceived a certain way, then you have coming out of that a religion. If God is pretty much like one of us, well, you've got a laid back religion. If God can be swayed by a few little gifts, well, then you give God little gifts here and there. Catholicism is big on that, Roman Catholicism, where you've got this and that that God, they say, finds favor with. If God is mean and vindictive and wants to take over the world militarily, well, you got Islam for that. If God is really not that big on holiness, unfortunately, you got a lot of Baptists that are on that train. They're just casual. They go to church, they come home, they go to church, they come home. That makes no difference, you know, at all. And many, many lives outside of any denomination have that. So what you think in your mind about God, oh, I can worship God on the golf course on Sunday morning. That's just what your religion is. So the concept of God may be entirely wrong. And we can say that because it's not up to us to make God. But if it's perceived to be true, then it breeds religion. This is why you got all these religions. They've got their ways of doing things, their beliefs, their books, all that, because they perceive God in a certain way, or someone has told them this is their perception of God, and they follow that. So religion seeks a bridge to God. Religion is a bridge to connect man with God. Now, its basis, most basic form, it starts with man. Because men see creation and then they respond to the Creator. And so they make some effort. It could be right or wrong. In Romans 1, it was wrong. They made, you know, images. And their behavior, body and soul, went wild. But if God is, there, we want to have a connection with Him. So how can we appease God? How can we get God to bless us? This is what a bridge does. How do we get to the other side? We take bridges for granted. I'll tell you, we would not take bridges for granted if we went a year without a bridge. If a bridge goes out, you don't take that bridge for granted anymore. It's just a road until then. You don't just go right across it. But you know, to get to the church building from where I am right now, I'd have to cross some rivers without bridges. It'd be much more than just get in the car and drive. I don't know that anybody can come without crossing a river of some kind or a stream. In a lot of places, you have to have bridges, and bridges we take for granted. So how do we make that connection? How do we get to God? How do we see that God's out there? How do we get that in our favor, make that connection. And you want to do something that you feel that God is pleased with. And unless you're told what God is pleased with, religions make that up. Let's take that daughter that comes to you that I mentioned earlier, and she says that she got a new boyfriend, and so that guy later on the next week wants to please his new girlfriend, your daughter, and so he brings her a possum. I'm sure there are girls somewhere on earth that would take kindly to that. But that would not be something that you would think would appease or please a woman, a girl. You don't want to bring a possum. I've never brought a possum. None of you brought a possum to woo a woman into, you know, you into their heart. The most common thing that is done to achieve God's favor is good works. That's the most basic practice of efforts to please God in the world. Do good. Good works, and God will pay you with everlasting life. Add some sacrifices. I'm telling you how to make a religion. Add sacrifices of some kind to show that you are serious. Make up a holiday like Lent and give up something. You're going to do good works, and you're going to give up something that the Bible never tells you to give up to show you're serious about your religion. And usually there's a system of daily actions. You know, Islam has the prayers 4 or 5 times a day or whatever toward Mecca. Church members meet in church. Catholics have their, you know, things they do. And so there is some sense of doing for the faithful. You're faithful to this religion, you do something. You read something, you pray something, you study something, whatever. And there's a religion. I've just given you a religion. You make up a God, you think of God, and you act according to what you think of him. And you do good works, and you make sacrifices, and you do a daily routine, something you think will make God happy with you. However, the Bible teaches us that a bridge to God will never work from the human side. We can't make a bridge to God. There are three basic aspects that has to be considered for a bridge. The side you're on, the side that God is on, and the stuff in the middle that keeps you apart. We can't go over to the other side because we can't fill in the middle. We can't fill in what God requires us to get to him. God requires an absolutely holy bridge. We can't make one of those. I think any of us could put a few things on our side that would be a start of a bridge. Maybe pour some cement or something. Once you start bridging the chasm, though, that's a problem. Somebody's got to get out in the middle and provide some things, and it's got to be, you know, completely on the other end. We don't have that. We don't have the ability to get to God with our actions. And many bridges are built or sought to be built on the basis of human opinion. The religion is human opinion. What do you think God would think about this? Well, I think you get this all the time. People deny the Bible all the time because they get with their friends and they talk about it and they decide that's not valid anymore. And then all the power of God, the authority of God in their mind, they just throw out because they figure it's different today. And it assumes that these false religions, they assume that God is pleased when we are pleased. When we do something, we can pat ourselves on the back. Well, God must be pleased with that. You know, I'm an avid fisherman, go all the time, drive a boat and all that stuff. I did do it once, I believe. My dad, we went out to Lake Adger, and we'd have a boat with, you know, a little fishing boat with a motor in the back. So he asked me one day, you know, would I like to drive? Yeah, I'd like to drive it. First thing I found out about it, I wanted to go right. I pushed it right. It went left. Want to go left? It go right. It was going opposite. This is what happens. We think we're doing the right thing. People with religion think they're doing the right thing, but it's the opposite of the right thing. In order for us to be able to get to God, he's got to provide the basics for the bridge. And what we normally do, if there's a river in the way, we normally wait for somebody in the Department of Transportation or something to build the bridge. We say, I sure wish somebody put a bridge there, but we can't do it. This is the way it is with God. Human works do not fix the problem of sin. And so our bridge can never be built. God has to build it. Human works don't negate the hindrance of sin. It doesn't gain us favor with God merely by a show of religion. When Sequa came to us, she had been taught if she did something wrong to say, sorry, and it was all right. We had to instruct her in that flippant sorry thing. But many religions are just that way. They're always that way. They do something wrong. They can't appease God. They can't make God happy. They can't erase the sin. So they say, sorry, I'll go and burn a candle. And all that is not built on God, on Christ, crumbles when any kind of load is placed upon it. So any bridge that we make, any human religion that we make, it will never hold up in the judgment. So God must provide the materials and the worker, who is Christ, to build the bridge from God to man. So religion is, in general, what we think we need to do to get to God, and then what people put in place. Now, idolatry then, what idolatry is and what it is not. Now, when I mention idolatry, that sounds outdated to our society, idolatry. People think of savages practicing voodoo in the jungles. That's idolatry. Or carving scary faces out of wood for a totem pole. Or even child sacrifice, these are clearly all idolatrous practices. But people think that they're exempt from idolatry because they don't do any of those things. We're civilized. So the biblical answer to that would be we have a civilized idolatry, if you want to say it that way. We're not above that. Idolatry is the worship of a false god. Now, that in itself should show us, just by that statement, how dangerous that is. When we're resting our entire significance, the meaning of our life, and the meaning of the world on a false god. But if you worship, if you're devoted to something or someone, God or whatever, greater than the one true God, you are an idolater. You're taking devotion from God and giving it to someone else. So you work a hard week, you go and get your paycheck, and your boss says, well, you know, you worked hard, you made extra this week, but I gave it to your friend over there. That would be a form of idolatry, in that you are the one who gets the devotion of that check. And when we turn from God, God mentions he's jealous, not because he's, you know, petulant or hurt his feelings, but that devotion belongs to God. You shall have no other gods before me. And so idolatry is a practical sin. It's what you do. It's not just theoretical. You can have a theoretical part to it, of course. But it doesn't require a religion. Greed, Colossians 3, verse 5, Paul's talking about religion and or talking about idolatry or them being focused upon Christ and how they're supposed to be right with the Lord and not with others. And so if you're greedy, well, you're after money. And if you're after money, well, then that's your God. So greed is idolatry. It's not a praiseworthy characteristic. If you're greedy, you serve your job, you serve the things you get from your job, you serve the possessions you have, that's idolatry. Idols don't have to be physical. Ezekiel 14:4 talks about the people held idols in their hearts. That's where we put them. If an idol's in your heart, well, that's your idol. Ezekiel 14:4, therefore speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. This is where idolatry is set up. Idolatry is enthroned in the heart. Now, we have a heart that is sticky. I don't know if you knew this. Our hearts are sticky. Things stick to our hearts pretty easily. And some of it is absolutely amoral, has no significance whatsoever to morality. Popcorn, if you were to look at my heart, if they did a scan of my heart, there'd be popcorn all over it. It just stuck there when it hit. So that's why idolatry is so dangerous, is that when we start to roam away from God, we stick. My grandmother always said, if I kept making an ugly face, I would stick that way. Well, when sin is pursued, it tends to stick. And when an idol is set up in the heart, it sticks there. And it's easy to do because of how common it is in this world. But idolatry is an absolute sin against God. And Psalm 96, verse 4, says, you know, there's a lot to choose from. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Do you know how hateful that is for today's speech? All the gods of the peoples are idols. Every god other than the God of the Bible, the one true God, Yahweh, the one and only Lord Jesus Christ, all the rest are idols, and they can't do anything. You can build them, but you can't make them fly. They will not help you. They cannot hear you. They cannot save you. They cannot be compassionate toward you. They're not to blame for any of the things that their adherents do, because you got to be alive to be blamed. But these gods are who people cheat on the Lord God with. There could be no idolatry if we could just choose our own God and then we would be faithful to our God. But they could say they don't believe the God of the Bible. But none of that flies. Idolatry is not a sin only within a chosen religion. Idolatry is a sin against the true and living God. And the entire world owes devotion to God. God made every person in the world, not just those of Christianity who are his children. Every person, just like the gospel is required for every person to believe. Every person must respond to God properly or they're an idolater, because God did not make us to worship other gods. We're made to worship him. And it's very dangerous. And it sends swaths of people, millions and billions of people, into eternity without hope. It brings persecution to the saints. There are people who are ignorant. That's why, you know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't have sense. And they do the most horrendous offense to God because their religion is wrong. It misleads millions into slavish and futile devotions to nothingness. People are making trips. They're giving money. They're sacrificing things for absolutely nothing because they're false. Their religion is false. Their God is false. Takes over entire regions. The Arab world is taken over by Islam. Humanism and socialism right now are ruining our kids. And a godless man or a false god man are both trouble to the world. They're driving an agenda that is completely unreal and harmful. So finally, what to do about idolatry? What do we do? Well, I think one thing that we need to do is have a proper understanding of religion. And the world does not have that. And a lot of professing believers don't have that. But religion itself does not make things better. In most cases, it makes things worse if it's not the true religion. I say in every way, because even if you don't do anything with it, you're still being deceived by thinking it's okay. All religions do not serve the same God. You know, the thought of society is we got all these religions. It's like a funnel that when it gets to God, they all just go to the same place. That's completely demonic. It's just, there's just one God in one way through Christ. And if you create a God physically or mentally, that is blasphemy against God. It is improper for his holy nature. And religion is not optional. There is a true and undefiled religion. It's not that, well, we can add religion to our lives or not. It just depends on whether we want a religion or not. Everybody's got a religion of some kind, even if it's atheism. And God does not hear every prayer made by people of another religion. When you ask people to pray for you, make sure you're asking someone who is a Christian. Because that's our access to God, is through Jesus Christ. You don't have that in other religions. So pure and undefiled religion has an absolute independent object in God. We do true religion, pure religion, when we mirror God. You see, it's not just us to God, it's God to us. That's what sets our religion. That's what differentiates Christianity from all other religions, is that God in Christ sent his son and bridged the gap himself, told us how to be right with him, so that then the bridge is built and now we can relate to God. It's entirely opposite of the world's religions. So Christians must stay unique. I plan right now to talk more about tonight when Paul was in Athens and the whole city was taken over by idols. And he did what we have to do. In a world of idols, you proclaim Christ. The best thing we can do to fix the world in every area is to proclaim the gospel, to hold to the truth and to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And the Bible says, 1 John 5:21, guard yourselves from idols. guard yourself. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. Guard yourselves from idols. Make sure that the things that you're devoted to are subordinate to Christ. It's not wrong to like things. It's not wrong to like to do things in the world. There's things you can put it in the right order. But watch out for them. Some of you who are Andy Griffith fans and know the show, you remember, I'll explain it for those of you not seen this episode. You know, a pretty girl got locked up in Mayberry one day. Both Barney and Andy wanted to, you know, volunteer to sit in the jail overnight to, you know, be with her and talk to her and stuff, you know, and while she was in jail. Well, Barney pushed his way in. And so Barney was watching this woman in jail. And she did a few little flirty things. And before long, he opened the door, was in there trying to fix things in her cell while she walked out the door. That's a picture of idolatry. You get wrapped up in something and you miss the whole point of your life. And the prisoner escapes. Of course, Andy was coming over to see the girl too, and he found her at the door. Your mind goes. Your devotion leaves. You no longer are in the focus on Christ, but somewhere else. Beware that trick of the devil, where he deceives us by putting a label on us. You're religious. You know, identity is all the rage today. It's causing all kinds of deception, division. People aren't even concerned with character anymore. They're concerned about what color you are and what sex you are and what your political position is and all kinds of stuff, what planet you're from, I guess. But know this, the world is full of idols. And we as Christians, by being true to Christ, we are standing out against idolatry. When we stand for the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, how gracious you are to us. Why are we not, Lord, in these countries where the prevailing religion is some false god? I pray, Lord, that we would be thankful for that because of your grace to us and that we would be true. And Lord, we do pray that you would heal our land from all the idols that are manifest in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.